Banking Without a Net.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation was created during the Great Depression. The FDIC reimburses depositors of a failed bank up to $100,000. It bailed out IndyMac customers earlier this summer, but it seems the FDIC is running out of money. Nine banks have failed so far this year, and FDIC Chairman Sheila Barr said things aren't looking good in the financial sector.
By any yardstick, it was another rough quarter for bank earnings. But these results were not unexpected as the industry coped with financial market disruptions, the housing slump, worsening economic conditions, and the overall downturn.
Bailing IndyMac out will cost the FDIC an estimated $9 billion, leaving it just $45 billion in reserves. That could mean the FDIC will have to borrow money from the U.S. Treasury. Global markets aren't reacting well to that this morning. Tokyo's Nikkei Index shed 0.2%. London's FTSE is down 0.25%. Germany's DAX is off 1.1%. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average ticked up 0.25%. And the FDIC isn't the only financial institution in a borrowing state of mind. Citigroup is forking over nearly $18 million in refunds and fines for taking money from customers' accounts. Marketplace's Renita Jablonski has more.
Say you overpaid on your Citigroup bill or got a refund for something you bought with your Citigroup card. In some cases, the company would take that positive balance without any notification. California's Attorney General investigated the so-called account sweeping program for 3 years. AG Edmund Brown says the company stole from mostly poor people and the recently deceased. Citigroup is now making refunds to 53,000 customers across the country. The company will also pay $3.5 million in damages and civil penalties to the state of California. Citigroup said in a statement it voluntarily stopped the computerized sweeping practice 5 years ago. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, online at shrm.org.
The National Snow and Data Center reports Arctic sea ice has melted to its second lowest level on record. That's roughly 40% less than its long-term average. Global warming is being blamed. Some people are profiting from the melt, including fishing operations. Fish stocks in many parts of the ocean have hit historic lows. And a new study finds overfishing actually changes a fish's biology, and not in a good way. Turns out they're getting smaller, and that makes fisheries even more vulnerable. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
The study looked at the cod fishery in the Baltic Sea. Author Dr. Karin Lindberg at the State University of New York, Syracuse, says the region's so depleted that the fish there have become smaller.
We are actually changing the genetics. We are actually causing fish species to evolve.
Lindberg says the cod are on the brink of economic extinction. Soon, it won't be profitable to catch them. This all sounds familiar to Peter Baker with the Pew Environmental Group. He says some fisheries off New England have lost 20% of their value over the past decade. Baker says the fish stocks could be wiped out without better management.
Until we start treating fisheries more like a business, where we figure out what the stocks can handle, we're just going to be a dog chasing its tail as far as rebuilding the stocks.
A new assessment of New England's cod fishery will be released next week. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Fish isn't the only food that's getting more expensive. The price of all kinds of things, from rice to soybeans to corn, has skyrocketed this year. That's been hard on many consumers and countries, but it's been good news for Monsanto. It's one of the largest providers of corn seed in the world, and business is booming for the agrochemical giant. Monsanto took in a record $3.5 billion last quarter. In this installment of Conversations from the Corner Office, Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl sits down with Monsanto CEO Hugh Grant.
You guys make and sell a lot of corn seed, and you do really well doing it. I'm curious as to your take on ethanol and the food versus fuel debate.
I think it's unfortunate that it's became a food versus fuel, because last time I checked, we got food crisis, but we got an energy crunch as well. You know, energy isn't looking too peachy. So when you set it up as a win-lose, I think it's a bad start.
So set it up the way you like then.
So the way the conversation has been set up is food versus fuel. I think we should be striving for a position where it's food and fuel and feed.
And let's see, food, fuel, feed, Monsanto makes a lot of money.
We sell a lot of seed.
Yeah.
But here's the reality. Biofuels in its infancy. So if you're in Europe, you're making diesel out of canola. If you're in Brazil, you're making ethanol out of sugarcane. And so far in the US, we've been making ethanol out of corn. My guess is we meet here in 5 to 10 years' time. We'll be looking at the waste streams in these products, so the leaves and stems, and turning them into ethanol. But you have to make a start. And my fear is, if we stop ethanol today, we lose an opportunity, and we need all the help we can get.
Do you buy the argument then that ethanol production is leading to or helping cause higher food prices?
Not at all. I think the biggest, if we closed our eyes, stamped our feet and said, ethanol was a mistake, let's make it go away tomorrow morning, we still got a squeeze in availability of food. Because the biggest draw in this is what's happening in other parts of the world. If you look at the demand curves in China and India, if you look at the dietary shifts and people eating beef for the first time in their lives, this dwarfs the impact of ethanol. And it's why I think we're setting up the wrong discussion at the moment. The conversation should be, how do we double the output and how do we improve productivity over the next 15 to 20 years? That's where the urgency is.
Hugh Grant is the chairman and CEO of Monsanto. Mr. Grant, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you for coming here today.
For more on Kai's Talk with Hugh Grant, head to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.